Good morning. Today's Daf in Yevamos, Kuf Tesvav, 115. We begin the new parak. Here we are in the 15th parak of the Masechta. Two parakim to go until we finish the Masechta. 1 week to go until we finish the Masechta. The second to last parak, penultimate parak of the Masechta, deals with more about Eidus Isha. So what we have navigated already earlier in the Masechta is what to do when she's missing a husband. And the reports that her husband's death is less than what is usually necessary. What's usually necessary? Shtei edim. So you need two witnesses in order to confirm anything, especially over here. It's the Davar Shebe'erva. We're talking about a married woman and her ability to now remarry, an establishment that her husband died. So under normal circumstances, of course, you need two witnesses in order to establish. Al pishnayim. What you would think is necessary is that you need two kasher edim to come and report about the death of their husband. So what do we learn extensively in the 10th parak of the Masechta? And that is that if her husband goes away and one witness comes back and reports the death of her husband, she can remarry. And this is what's called Eidus Isha. So one of the exceptions, one of the rare times in halacha where we're going to be moving based on the testimony of one witness. As we already established, back in the 10th parak of the Masechta. 10th parak of the Masechta goes all the way back to Pei Zayin Amud Beis. 10th parak discusses that it doesn't have to be a kosher aid. It could be a woman testifying. In other words, for the allowance of this woman to no longer be an aguna and to go ahead and to remarry another man, so you don't need the requisite to aid him. Now, how exactly does that work? How can one aid be believed and be credible for her to remarry? Okay, so that's an important question. And the Gemara entertained a couple of svaras. One svara the Gemara entertained is, this is Milsa Davida Legluye. In other words, eventually we're going to know the truth. Meaning, whether or not her husband died or did not die, it's going to be discovered at a later point in time with more clarity. So on a milsa David Gluye, so maybe this one witness is extended extra namonis. That's one possibility. The other possibility the Gemara entertained is Isha Daiko Mitzvah, that she herself is not going to be satisfied just with this amount of information. It's a good starting point, and what she'll do is she'll do her own investigation. And so we assume Isha Daiko Mitzvah. Those are a couple of svaras that we discussed back in the 10th parak in terms of why we believe Eid Echad, one witness. Okay, so really this matter has been covered in detail in the 10th parak. So what are we doing here in the 15th parak? So we're going to be discussing a permutation of this case, and that is that she went together with her husband, and she came back. And Rachmanis, she is now, she came back without her husband, and she's reporting that her husband has died. So is she believed, yes or no? That's going to be our discussion here in this parak. Aisha Shahakhahil Balala Medina Sayyam. So she and her husband went to Medina Sayyam. We're starting with the Mishnah. We're on Kuf Yud Dalid Ahmed Bez. And we're starting with the new parak. So she and her husband went across sea. Shalom Beinola Veina. Shalom Ba'olam. And peace exists between her and her husband, meaning her and her husband have a very good relationship. You don't even have to be very. Okay, but in other words, they have a good relationship. And Shalom Ba'olam. And there's peace in the world as well. Why are these two critical factors? Well, we're going to see together. Uvava Amra and Rachmanis, she comes back and she says, Meis Bali Tinase, her husband died. So based on her testimony regarding herself, so she can go ahead and get remarried. Meis Bali Tishabem. Alternatively, let's say there was a surviving brother and they had no children. So her testimony now will lead to Yibum. Regardless, either way. In other words, her testimony is either going to be Matir Eishas Isha, or it's going to be Matir Eishas Ach. Either way. The point is that she's believed, and we're going to act accordingly as if what she's saying is the truth. So this is a little bit more than Eid Echad. Meaning Eid Echad is at least one objective witness who's reporting. Over here, who's doing the reporting? She's doing the reporting about herself. So this is even, as far as Nehmanus goes, we can call this a little bit less than Eid Echad. Regardless, the point of the Mishnah is that under certain circumstances, she is believed. Now, Shalom Beinu Levena Mechama Ba'olam. So, but what if we change one of those two factors? Meaning there are two important factors. One is the condition of their marriage, and number two is the condition of the world. So as long as there's peace on both fronts, so then she's believed. However, if all we have to do is just change one of those factors, where there's not peace, neither, either in the marriage or in the state of the world, of world affairs, so then the halacha is going to be different, as we're going to see together.
They don't mean the world, they mean where they went.
Correct. Correct. Agreed. Shalom beino levena muhammad ba'olam, kitata beino levena, v'shalom ba'olam, uvatava amra meis bali, eino ne'emenis. So, if only one of those factors were to change, so then she is not extended credibility. Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo lameinu ne'emenis alim kein, bato boche be'begada kruyim. So Rabbi Yehuda says that she has to put on a show. Now, I do not mean that in a cynical manner, meaning, I said in a cynical manner, so I could be misinterpreted, but I do not mean in a cynical manner, meaning Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that you have to see that she's really distressed, okay? And the she's coming back, she's crying, her clothing is torn, so then and only then are we going to believe her. Okay, that obviously is extraordinarily subjective, but Rabbi Yehuda says that there has to be there has to be more indication that what she's saying is correct. And Amrlo Achazuv Achazut Tinasei. And they say to Rabbi Yehuda, no. In other words, no. There doesn't have to be this kind of emotional display. In other words, the woman's going to be believed, period. Again, going back to the two conditions have to be set. There has to be Shalom Beino Levena, and there has to be Shalom Ba'olam. But as long as you have those two factors, she's going to be believed and without the emotional display. Tana. We'll start right with the Gemara. Shalom beino levena mishum dekabai lemistei ketata beino levena. Tana shalom ba'olam mishum dekabai lemistei mechama ba'olam. Okay, in other words, when we opened up the Mishnah, we started reading the Mishnah, so we were reading like funny lines in the Mishnah, right? There was peace and harmony in their marriage. There was peace and harmony in the world. But as the Gemara points out, what the Mishnah wanted to do is just set us up for the next lines of the Mishnah. Meaning that, exactly, we will assume, right, it's not always the best assumption, but we will assume that there was harmony in the marriage. We'll assume that there was harmony in the world. But the Mishnah is setting us up for, and what if one of those factors changed? Okay, so when you read the opening of the Mishnah, so like it's a little bit strange, but then once you move on in the Mishnah, you realize, oh, contrast. That's why the Mishnah started off that way. Okay, Amarava. My time de mechama. Okay, so let's understand. So if there is no shalom beino levena, the Gemara doesn't really articulate, broadcast why it is that she's not believed. Okay, Rashi back in the Mishnah, which I didn't quote, but it's not too late. So Rashi back in the Mishnah says that she's not going to be believed if there is fighting in the marriage because she really just wants out of the marriage. What's going to happen? So she came back, they were fighting already, she came back, and she's thinking, okay, this is a great way to me getting out of the marriage. I'll say that he died. Now, I know that he didn't die, but I'll say that he died. What's the next step going to look like? She'll, quote-unquote, get remarried, her husband's going to come back. Right, she's going to have to divorce both her current man and her husband. Okay. So if there's disharmony in the marriage, so the Gemara assumes that we know, Rashi back in the Mishnah explained, she's not going to be believed. Okay, so that the Gemara does not really need to articulate. However, if there's war going on, oh, now she's not going to be believed. What does the war in the world have to do with her credibility? That's the Gemara's question. Let's see the Gemara's answer. So So the Gemara says, if it's wartime and they're coming back from a war scene, so she's going to jump to a conclusion. And we're going to say this really clearly in just a couple of minutes from now, and that is that we're not worried that she's lying. We assume that she's telling the truth. Meaning, remember, if there's harmony all around, we assume she's telling the truth. So over here, if it's wartime, same thing. We're assuming she's telling the truth. Again, the only time that we're going to discredit her in terms of her integrity is if her and her husband are fighting. Okay, but short of that, we're going to assume she's telling the truth. In wartime also, we're going to assume she's telling the truth. So what makes wartime, what makes it a factor? The fact is that in wartime, she's going to jump to conclusions. Meaning, war is chaos, and her and her husband right now find themselves in a war zone, and it's chaotic, and Gemara's going to spell it out in terms of she's going to see that her husband was seriously injured, she's going to leap to a conclusion that he died. The Gemara says it. Mishum da amra bididami. Now the Gemara has an expression, bididami, meaning it seems to me. right? I think he died, right? I'm pretty sure he died. So sakadacha b'cholani deitol hu palit, meaning her argument or her statement to herself is, look around right now. Everyone's dying all around. You think my husband survived? Okay. So im tim salamer kevin deshalom beino levena natra dechazia zimun nachole begira o beremusa v'savra vademes. And the Gemara says, and even if there's matrimonial harmony, still, what's going to happen is that he'll be hit by some sort of weapon. She thinks that he for sure died. And meanwhile, the medic got to him. She didn't see this part. The medic got to him, and he survived. And again, because it's so chaotic, she'll just leap to a conclusion. So, Savar, Rav Lameimar, good. Okay, let's just pause for a moment over here. So, what the Gemara now just has taught us is that if they were in a war zone, their marriage is fine, but they're in a war zone, so she's going to leap to conclusions. And even though their good marriage would normally mean that she would wait for him and she would be hopeful that he survived, but she actually saw that he was injured. Once she saw that he was injured, and again, everyone else around is dying, she's going to assume that he suffered the same fate as well. Okay, and that's why when she comes back from a war zone, she is not going to be believed. So, sever ever lemeimar ravon enukamochama. And now what we're going to do is that we're going to try to compare catastrophes. We're going to be market shopping catastrophes. What is halachically similar to one another? So we know what the setting is on war zone. War zone is she's not believed for the reason we just gave. So now we're going to talk about other catastrophes, both natural and non-natural. So we are going to talk here about a famine. So Savar Avalamema Ravan and Kamuchama Dolo Amri Bididame. Let's say husband and wife find themselves right in the middle of a famine. And she survived. And she said her husband didn't. So what do we say over there? Like a war zone? So Rava thought originally, nah, it's not like a war zone. So Hadam Rava Ravon Hare Kamachama. Rava changed his tune. What caused Rava to change his tune? So actually, the following. Hadahu Da'asa, Da'asas Likame de Rava. A woman came to Rava Amarle Bali Meis Barav. So she's reporting that, look, my husband and I were together and we found ourselves right in the middle of a famine. I survived and my husband didn't. Okay, and we only know this information based on what she's saying. Amar la shapir avarita deshazir nafshech saka dacha debahu porta denafafisa deshavakta le havechaye. So Rava made the following comment. And Rava did this in an extraordinarily smart manner. In that, basically, he squeezed information out of her. He said, it's unbelievable how you survived with all that, with just a little bit of food, and you left him with that little bit of food, right? But you assumed he didn't survive, right? In other words, basically, she's now going to admit, yeah, in other words, I did leave him, but he was on the brink of death, and he just had a little bit of food. And she says, Amarlei, mar namiyada, dichiyai gavna lochaye? Oh, wow, right? You also know the same thing, that there's no way he could have survived. Meaning, she just admitted that she didn't actually see him die. She left him on the brink of death. And so this is now an admission on her part that she made an assumption that he died. Again, nothing malicious over here. In other words, there was harmony in their marriage. It's just that, again, in a chaotic scene, so she's going to walk away thinking that he died, even though she wasn't there for the actual death. So how do Rava Ravon Grema Muhammad? So, and Rava says, look, as far as I'm concerned now, not only do I think Ravon and Muhammad are basically on par with one another, in that it will impugn her credibility, I'll go even a step further. When it comes to Ravon, in order to establish that her husband died, I need more than wartime. The ilu Muhammad ki amra meis bali ba Muhammad hu dala mehemna, ha meis amita so mehemna. In wartime, let's say that she says, look, I left him almost dead. Okay, we're not going to believe her. But let's say her reporting is, in other words, I was bedside when he died. So then we are going to believe her. That's by wartime. The ilugabe ravona damra meis vekarvartiv. Rava says that when it comes to famine, the only time I'm going to let a woman remarry is if her reporting is that I not only was bedside when he died, I was there with the burial. Then and only then is Rava going to allow her to remarry. Okay. So far, the catastrophes we discussed are wartime and famine. All right, a couple more to discuss. Mapolas Harika Mechama. So, Damra Bididami. So, as far as a collapsed building is concerned, So there, once again, we're going to assume that she made an assumption. She leaped to a conclusion. The building collapsed again, chaos, and she somehow got out of there, but she's pretty sure he died. Okay. Same thing if there's an infestation of snakes and scorpions. Dever. Okay. What if it is a plague? What if it's a pandemic? Okay. I know, a little too soon, but what if it's a pandemic? So, Amri la hareka machama, v'amri la enuka machama. Okay, so here, the Gemara vacillates regarding whether or not she'll leap to a conclusion. Amri la hareka machama damri bididame. So, on the first side, one can argue that, again, it's chaotic, and people will leap to conclusions, right? He was on the brink of death, and I was able to somehow get out of there. But he was on the brink of death, I assume he died. The Amri la enuka machama desamche adamri inche. On the other hand, when it comes to pandemic, so some people have the following attitude. I'm not going to name who those people are. But some people have the following attitude. And it's an expression, which means it's not just some people. A lot of people have the following attitude. You know, we've had a pandemic now for the last 7 years. I'm telling you, you know when Akash Baruch is going to take me? When it's my time. Meaning, I'm not worried about the pandemic. Okay? You may have heard that once or twice in the recent past. Okay, so it's an expression that people have, meaning it's an attitude that people have. And so maybe what the Gemara is now arguing is that it's not as chaotic as the other catastrophes that we discussed previously, where people are going to leap to a conclusion. Over here, when it comes to pandemic, so you'll see people walking around not as crazed as in the other catastrophes. And therefore, when she reports that her husband died, so we can assume that there was a non-panic declaration, and therefore she's going to be believed. Okay. So we have talked in total about five different types of catastrophes. War, famine, collapse, buildings, snakes, plagues, and whether or not women will leap to conclusions when their husband was on the brink of death but didn't actually die. Will they leap to a conclusion? So basically the answer is that yes, they will leap to a conclusion. Therefore, they're not afforded credibility. Okay, that's the basic outline of the Gemara. Pandemic might be a little bit different. Maybe. Okay. Next. Ibai Lahu. We're in the very bottom of Kuf Yadalad Amud Beis. The following question. Hichzika hi mochama ba'olamahu. Mi amrina mali l'shaker, di Ibai amra sholom ba'olam. Odil makev dichzike amre b'didami v'loasi. Mali l'shaker amar chaskaseh. Really fantastic question of the Gemara, right? Practically speaking, would not want to conceive of the case, but in terms of lumdus and conceptualization, it's really a powerful question. And that is the following. We don't know what's going on over there where they were, meaning, right, the news feed didn't get to us yet. So she comes back without her husband. She says, look, my husband died, but I'm also here to tell you that we just came back from war zone. So the only way we know that it was a war zone is because she said so. Had she not given us that information, she would be believed. Meaning, let go back to our Mishnah. As long as there's Shalom Bein Olavina and Shalom Ba'olam, she's believed. But over here now, she's the one providing us with the information that it's a war zone. So, can we use the classic principle of Migu? Since she could have left that information out and therefore been believed, so here, even though she's providing for us this information, so, but still, she's going to be believed because she didn't have to give it to us. That's one possibility. That's the first possibility. Alternatively, no. Once she tells us that it's war zone, so then she's not going to be believed. And even though she had Mali Lashakar, look, what do you mean I don't have credibility? I could have left that out and I would have been believed. We don't say that here in this case. Why not? Rashi explains. Rashi, I'm paraphrasing the top Rashi over here. Because It's not that we are assuming she's lying. In other words, we're assuming that she's telling the truth. However, in a chaotic scene, in a chaotic zone of wartime, what she's going to do is she's going to leap to a conclusion. Not because she's malicious, not because she's discredited. It just happens to be that in chaotic zones, people do that. People leap to conclusions. So once she tells us it's a war zone, so she can't be believed. Not because we are suspicious that she's lying, but simply because in chaos, this is human nature. People just then will jump to a conclusion. Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see if we can litigate this question. Ashinu aleinu bayis, ashinu aleinu ma'ara. So there was smoke everywhere. In other words, this is another catastrophe. So they were basically in a fire. And smoke was everywhere. Hare meis, and my husband died. So hare v'ani nitzalti enu ne'emenes. Obviously, I survived. In other words, she's reporting it. So she now claims that she survived and her husband died. So what do we know? So the Braisa says very clearly, she's not believed over here. So Shani Hasam Da Amar La Nisa. So the Gemara says, okay, even without the question of she didn't have to give us this first information, even without that, meaning just even on her argument alone. So let's get this straight. You somehow got out of there. And you're claiming your husband did not get out of there? Right? Did you see the body? Did you see the... No. And you just assumed that he died there? Look, somehow you escaped miraculously. Your husband probably, or at least could have as well. So, in other words, if that's the only information she's providing, she's not going to be believed. But again, it's not because of the... We're rejecting the Mali Lashakir. It just happens to be that we're looking at the information just on the information alone. If you got out, there's a chance that he got out as well. Tashma, nafal aleinu avdei kocham, nafal aleinu listem humeis v'nitzalti ne'emenes. If, let's say, she said, look, we were held up, right? Really dangerous people came and held us up, and my husband died, and I survived. Now, again, if she saw the actual corpse, and she saw her husband actually being killed, okay. But that, in other words, did you see him actually die? No, but I'm telling you. They killed a whole bunch of people. They probably killed my husband as well. So, and there she is, ne'emenes. There she is believed. So once again, if she just simply said her husband died, okay. But over here, she's also giving us the circumstances as well. And she's believed. So why over there she believed? So ha'asam k'derav idi, dam rav idi, she klei zayna aleha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that case is different. Because when it comes to bandits, so women are armed. Okay, now, it's an expression of the Gemara. We hear it a couple times throughout Shas. We're hearing it right over here. We also the Gemara in Avodah Zarah uses this expression as well. It's not perfectly clear what the Gemara means by that, right? The Rashi over here just simply writes that Isha lo mistafio melistim. Women are not scared of bandits. Women are not going to be threatened by bandits, either because they themselves don't pose a threat, and therefore they're not really worried that they're going to die. It could be more than that. Okay, whatever the case is. In other words, the case of bandits are unusual and different. In the case of war, in the case of famine, she is equally vulnerable as her husband was. But over here, when it comes to bandits, so she basically has an air of protection around her, and so therefore it's different. Meaning, so it's not a comparable case to any of the above cases. So, on the question of, when she's providing us the background information, which will only hurt her case. Is that going to hurt her case? So the Gemara vacillated on this issue. And the Gemara did not arrive at a conclusion. We finish up this discussion with one more story. It was Rachmanis. It was a chasna. And what happened that the chasna's fire broke out. And we're going to get little bits of information. Number one, she's screaming, my husband, my husband. Meaning that she sees that the fire is now attacking him. So asu chazu gavra charucha deshade u pisisa diada deshaje, and rachmanis, real rachmanis. The remains of a charred body, the remains of a charred hand next to one another, totally unrecognizable. Neither the hand nor the charred body. And now, question. So she certainly saw her husband being attacked by the fire. There are remains. Okay, so can we now arrive at the conclusion that she is Rachmana, she's a widow? So Rav Chiya bar Avin lemeimer hainu isha no leinu bayis, isha no leinu ma'ara. So Rav Chiya bar Avin thought this is comparable to the case that we discussed earlier, of there was smoke throughout the house, and she escaped. And now, what did we say earlier? Well, we will tell her, look, you somehow managed to escape. There's a chance your husband escaped as well. I'm Rava Midami. Rava says, this case over here of the wedding hall is not comparable to the previous case. So first of all, over here, she saw her husband being attacked by the fire. Right? She actually saw that. Number two. So, and also, what about the remains, the charred remains of a human body? So over here, we have more evidence that would indicate that her husband actually died. Now, what Rav Chiya Bar Avin will tell you is the following. As far as the fact that she saw her husband being burnt, he doesn't comment on that. Okay, but Lamaisa, she didn't see him die. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the remains, the human remains, it could be the following occurred. Right? We're trying to reconstruct. This is a possible reconstruction of what occurred. And that is that the remain charred belongs to another man. And what about the hand, the remains of a hand? So that could have belonged to her husband. Her husband was trying to save somebody else. And what happened is that his hand got burnt off. And it could be that the hand belongs to your husband and the human body belongs to another man. And so where's your husband right now? So he is handless, he's armless, and it could very well be that he just simply was so embarrassed he ran away. Okay, again, we don't know what happened. This is a possible reconstruction of what happened. The point is that if she didn't see him actually die, we just simply do not have sufficient evidence that would indicate that her husband actually died. And like we've been saying all morning, she may be jumping to conclusion. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of, let's call this the first part of today's daf, a question of when a woman is believed in cases of chaos. And the general position of the Gemara is that no, typically women are not going to be believed in scenarios of chaos. If their marriage is chaotic, she's not believed. But okay, that the Gemara never discusses, meaning the Mishnah says it. But again, it's kind of self-evident. Rashi said back in the Mishnah. If their marriage is good, but the world is chaotic or their situation is chaotic, there she's not going to be believed for the basic reason that she will jump to the conclusion. She wasn't there for a moment of death. She was there just prior. And then in chaos, she's running away. Well, she's assumed that her husband did not survive. But because she didn't see the actual death, so we are going to now discredit her, not for malicious reasons, not because we believe that she's looking to bump off her husband, but simply because of the chaos. Okay. I'm sure there is. Meaning this is, all this is way too complicated to give us all the details in what have we done? A half an amud? Meaning I'm sure there are many more details that need to be taken into consideration. These are just the basics. We're right now, this is just the most basic highlights of these halachas. Ibai Lahu. We're on Kuftas Vav Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud. The Gemara now is going to be litigating the following. This is a big part of today's daf. Ibai Lahu Eidecha B'Mochama Mahu. Okay. Eidecha B'Mochama. Meaning the Mishnah took us to where she's self-reporting about herself, about her husband, about her marital status. Okay, let's go back to Eid Echad, right? Eid Echad comes back and says her husband died. It happens to be that it was a war zone. Are we ready to believe Eid Echad when he comes back from a war zone? When she comes back from a war zone, we're not going to believe her. Okay, established. What if the Eid Echad is coming from a war zone? And what it really cuts into is, why do we believe Eid Echad? So at the beginning of today's daf, I already gave you the two principal arguments of why we believe Eid Echad. So let's see now how the Gemara plugs that in over here. Is it because when we believe one witness when something is going to become revealed? Meaning we're going to know the truth. Here as well, war is not forever. Eventually, we're going to know what happened. So over here, just like we believe one witness because it's going to be known here too. Even though he's coming back from war, it's going to be known, and therefore he should be extended credibility. I'm going to skip the next four words. Or it could be based on that, like we said at the beginning of Shir today, The reason why we believe Eid Echad is that because it will tell her, okay, you can remarry, but you need to do your own investigation. Meaning we don't have two witnesses. It's only one witness. You're going to do your own investigation. And we generally assume she will be doing her own investigation. Aye, but if it was war, so she'll be less incentivized to do her own investigation. Why? Because as we just discussed the entire morning, because in wartime, she's going to leap to conclusions here also. Meaning if it was wartime, she'll leap to conclusions. Right, okay, agreed. So, okay, but the Gemara assumes right now that just like when she herself came from war, she will leap to conclusions. If she's going to do an investigation about a war, same story. Amar Rami Bar Chama Tashma, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so what are we trying to ascertain? It's Eid Echad, but complicated by the fact that he's coming and reporting the death of her husband in a war zone. And so now, is he believed from that war zone? Okay, so that's the question on the table. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try to see if we can ascertain. Tashma Rabbi Kiva Kashirati Lenarda La Bershana. So I went down to Narda in order to intercalate. In other words, we had to establish, should we be adding a second Adar? Should we not be adding a second Adar? And I went to Narda in order to make the decision. Narda is outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's Rabbi Kiva doing outside of Eretz Yisrael? Are you allowed to be Ma'abrishana outside of Eretz Yisrael? Generally, the answer is no. Here, the answer is yes. Okay, just a lot of discussions that I quickly highlighted and whatever. Just not even. Anyway, Matzati Nechem, it's not the main point of today's daf. Matzati Nechem Ish Beis Deli, Vamili Shamati She'em Masinas Ish Eretz Yisrael, Apir Eid Echad. And I found a person, and he reported to me the following. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, they're not believing one witness to allow a woman to remarry. Now, at this point in time, it's funny, because we have heard it so many times in our Masechta, like, who's arguing with this principle? Okay? Chachme Eretz Yisrael, during a certain period of time, were arguing with this principle. Okay, this was controversial at a time. So, and the only one who would allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness, Ella, Rabbi Huda ben Bava. So it was Rabbi Huda ben Bava, him and only him, that allowed to remarry based on one witness. V'namti lo kein advarim, and I told him, no, you're allowed to remarry based on one witness. Amali amor lahem mishmi, atem yodim amedina azum mishubeshes, begayasos kach mekublanim erav gamliel zakein, shemasinash isha pid echad. Rabbi Kiva says, I have a tradition going back to Rabbi Gamliel Zakein that you can remarry based on the testimony of one witness. However, it's just right now it's a war zone. Now that comment, right now it's a war zone. The Gemara doesn't fully understand what Rabbi Kiva meant by that. That needs clarification. My Medina Meshubeshes Begayasos. La Vavagavda Medina Zu Meshubeshes Kach Mekublani Shemesin Api Eid Echad. Maybe what Rabbi Kiva means is that even if the one witness is coming from a war zone, you could still believe him, right? Isn't that what Rabbi Kiva meant? The Gemara says, no, not at all. I'm sorry, Ama Eid Echad Mehemen. Okay, so, all right, so now we can conclude, right? The Gemara says, not right. Why did Rabbi Kiva say Medina Zu? Meaning this would be the halacha wherever there's a war zone. So Rabbi Kiva says, my personal situation right now is that I can't come and report because right now I'm in the middle of a war zone. So I can't come and report it. It has nothing to do with the halacha. It has to do with his own personal situation. But do me a favor. Go back with the information I'm giving you. But you're going to go back. I don't know why this person had easy travels and Rabbi Kiva didn't, but you're going to go back and you're going to report in my name that I said the name of Rabbi Gamliel, a woman can remarry based on Eid Echad. So the fact that it was a war zone had nothing to do with the halacha. It just was a personal situation regarding Rabbi Akiva. Let's try this again. Tashma. There was an episode where they were on a boat. The boat went down, and Rebbe allowed the wives to remarry based on the testimony of women. meaning the only ones who saw the death of the husband were women. They came back and they reported, and Rebbe allowed their widows to remarry. Established that they were widows and they can remarry. Now, Veha Mayim Kemuchamadamo, so here we're going to make two assumptions. One of them we're going to stick with. The other one we're not. We're going to make two assumptions over here. Assumption number one. So, Mayim Kemuchamadamo, right? They were drowning in water. Drowning in water is like war, meaning chaotic events where people will leap to assumptions. That's number one. Number two, Veneshim Afilu Mea Keidech Adamu. And the second assumption is that testimony of, let's say, even 100 women, that is tantamount to one witness, one kosher witness, right? In other words, women do not generally have the right to testify. They don't have the ability to testify. And so, by Eidus Tisha, we're Mekel. But over here, if let's say we were to take the testimony of one woman and put it together with the testimony of another woman, and even 100 women, halachically speaking, that's no different than one man testifying, meaning generally it's insufficient. Okay, so what do I see over here? I see that it's water, tantamount to mechama, and it's women, tantamount to Eid Echad, and they're believed. Okay, so it seems like now we have our answer. Even though the Eidech is coming from a war zone, he's going to be believed. V'ktani hisi. V'tizbara ma'im she'en la'im sof ninu. U'ma'im she'en la'sof ishto asura. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when the boat went down where? Ma'im she'en la'im sof. We do not see the shoreline. So if we do not see the shoreline, I know it's a little bit counterintuitive, and we're going to hear this again and again, but it could come out a little bit counterintuitive. If you don't see a shoreline, we have to assume the husband may have survived. The man may have survived. Now, I know that's funny. In other words, you would think that if, right, just the opposite, that if there's a shoreline, there's a chance of survival. But the Gemara's assumption is, and it will be the constant assumption of the Gemara, so we'll just get it down well now, and that is that if there's a shoreline, if there's a visible shoreline, we're going to see him come up. And by virtue of the fact that we didn't see him come up, we can safely assume that he died. But if it's Maim She'in Lehemsof, where there was no shoreline, maybe he did come up somewhere, we just didn't see it. That's the assumption the Gemara makes. So the Gemara says, Maim She'in Lehemsof Isha Asura, Elahei Chidami Da'amre, Askinu Kaman, V'chazinu La'altar, V'kamri Simanim. So over here, the case has to be a little bit different, meaning not like it was originally reported. What was the case over here? We actually saw the remains, meaning it's not that he just went down, the husband went down, and that was it. No, we actually saw the remains. Now, how do we know that it's her husband? Simanim, meaning there were actual signs, marks on the body that were specific to her husband. And delav alayu samchinan ela asimanim. And so therefore, it's not their testimony that we're really banking on, but it's really the simanim. Now, this part's a little bit tricky, meaning how do we know about the simanim? Because of the testimony of the women. But still, the point is that this is not going to be a predicate of, it's a chaotic scene, we may have leaped to assumptions. We don't assume that. Meaning what we assume right now is that these women are telling the truth. They did see the remains, and there were telltale signs on the body that this is her husband. They reported those telltale signs, and therefore they're going to be believed. Okay, so therefore, once we change the case, no longer can this now be a referendum on our original question. Our original question was, can Eidecha be believed when he's coming back from a war zone? That was our original question. Once this case is not about jumping to conclusions, but they saw the remains and they're testifying about the Samanim, so then this case is not going to weigh in whatsoever to our original question. Kuf tes vav amud bei, second line down. We're gonna get to the two dots. How gavre divke shemshan egabe chavrei. Okay, this case has nearly nothing to do with the previous case, but it has to do with simanim. So it comes up over here. A deposit was made. I left my sesames by my friend. Okay, and so I asked him to be a shomer. Good. And then amr le havli shum shami. And so I come back and I say, no, let me have my sesame seeds. Amr le shikaltinu. So my custodian said to me, you took them already, remember? Okay, so this is now just a simple dispute between two people, in terms of whether or not the owner of the sesame seeds took it back. So vaha chen v'chein havyao v'chavisa ramyan. So the owner of the sesame seeds says, well, that's so curious, because I'm in your house right now and I'm looking at a box of sesame seeds. And remember, I gave you, I'll just give an amount. And I gave you 10 gallons of sesame seeds. And I'm looking right now at 10 gallons of sesame seeds. Like, come on. So, Amar le didcha shekaltin v'hane achrineninu. So he says, okay, do you know, all sesame seeds look alike? You took yours. This is another pile of sesame seeds. Either they're mine, they belong to somebody else. Meaning you took yours already. So Savar Rav Chisa Lameimar. Okay, so what do you do with this dispute? Meaning, who do we believe? Okay. Rav Chisa thought, Hainu Shein Tamidei Chachamim V'lo Amrinan Hanach Azu La'ama V'hani Achrina Ninhu. So, at this point in time, this is similar to the case that we just discussed previously. Meaning where the women saw the bodies, and there were simanim on the bodies, and so they reported it, and they were believed. So over here, when the owner of sesame seeds come in and tells us how much there was, and the amount that's here is exactly matching the amount that he left, that's a siman. So Amalei Rav Amidami Hasim Kamri Simanim Achashum Shemei My Simani Islehu. So the Gemara says, come on, it's not the same. In other words, in the reporting of the remains of the bodies, there actually were telltale markers on the body. Simanim. Over here, what simanim are there? Uvid dekamri chen v'chen havya. Now, maybe what? He got the volume correct? He got the amount correct? Emer chushbani yisrame. That's not a simon. In other words, just because he told him how much he left over there, how much is not going to be a proper simon. Amalei markas shishabar rechisa l'rev ashi mecheshin shema pinan v'hatanan. And then the Gemara just wants to know, is this really a concern? Meaning it's the same container, and the Shomer is arguing, yeah, I emptied it out, and these are different sesame seeds. Is that a fair argument? So over here, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Maaser Sheni, Matzah Kli, because of a lav, kuf, carbon. Let's say you find a Kli, and they're marked with a kuf. So the contents are carbon. Mem, Maaser, if marked with a mem, it's Maaser. Dala, dimua. Tes, tevel, tuf, truma. Okay. So anyway, so if it's marked, we assume that the contents are whatever the markings are on it. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that once we mark a container, we never switch out the contents. How about this? Let's read on in the Mishnah, Maaser Sheni. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Afilo Matzah Chavis Kasev Aleha. Truma, Hare Elechulin, Shani Omer, Ishaket Ave Male Truma Pina. So Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, you're writing the word truma on the container. But if he's telling you that I replace the contents with chulin, the person's going to be believed. People do clear out containers. To which the Gemara says, Ela dekuli ama chayshin hashem apinan. Oh. So no, generally speaking, a container could be emptied and replaced with other contents. And that's normal. And in that Mishnah Maaser Sheni, the only thing that was open for an argument is the following: when I do clear out my container, empty the container, replace it with others, am I going to wipe out the marking on the front? So according to the Tanakhama, I will mark it out. And so by virtue of the fact that the marking is still there, it means that I haven't cleared out the container. And Rav Yossi is going to argue one of two things. Number one, people forget. In other words, I used it for truma. I emptied it out. I replaced it with chulin. I forgot to change the marking. Alternatively, I'm going to keep the word truma on. You know why? Because when I keep truma on, no one's going to touch it. Okay. So that's the only argument over there. But do people empty out their containers? All the time. And so therefore, when the shomer and the owner are having this dispute, hey, those are my sesame seeds. And the shomer says, no, they're not. Right? You took yours. So now, do people clear out the containers all the time? Does he have a simon that those sesame seeds belong to him? No. He got the amount. Right? Amount is not a simon. Okay. And this is not comparable to the cases of the seeing of the remains of the body and the ability to actually use the simonim to identify that that was the husband. Those are actual simanim. Over here, we don't have a simon. Okay.
So why don't we use it like this?
Yeah. So right. So good. So I good. Okay. We are linked. I was wondering the same thing over here. So the right now he was the owner, but again he. Yeah, right. The other person is right now entrusted with it, and okay, I was also bouncing back between who's the muhzak on that particular case as well. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. Okay, we started the 15th parak of the Masechta, penultimate parak of Yevamos, in which we are going over really unfortunate scenarios where she's coming back and she is now reporting that her husband died. So under normal circumstances, she's believed, but if there is disharmony in either their marriage or on the world stage, so then she's not going to be believed. What we discussed are other major catastrophes and do they have the same status of a war zone? That was our first discussion. Second discussion is, which really is was the big discussion of today, right in the middle of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, is that when Eid Echad is coming back from Milchama, is he going to be believed? Why is Eid Echad believed in general? And it will inform us about this particular scenario. And then the Gemara just segued, and the Gemara never concluded on that issue. And the Gemara then segued on the top of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis to a similar case, but it's not the same, where sesame seeds were deposited and a simple dispute between the owner and the custodian in terms of whether or not he took it back. Custodian said he did. Owner said he didn't. There are no simanim. It seems like we're going to be siding with the shomer as opposed to the owner. The owner does not have simanim.